The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So taking a little bit of care with your posture, sitting up straight, and taking a posture that has some expression of alertness in it. Perhaps some care that your spine is a little bit more upright or alert than usual. Some sense of energy or strength in your spine. And then around that upright spine, relax all the other muscles that make sense to relax. Perhaps taking a few long, slow, deep breaths, and as you exhale, softening, relaxing. Perhaps you can soften the belly. Or the shoulders. The muscles of your face. As you exhale, let there be a softening movement, a softening wave through your arms and your legs. And letting your breath be normal. Hanging out a little bit with the experience of breathing. Noticing what it's like for you now to be breathing. Except for when there might be a biochemical cause, all restlessness has its origins in the mind. And it's closely connected to our thinking, whether it's conscious or subconscious. And as you sit now, become aware of your thinking, the state, quality of your thinking mind. Is it active? Or is it calm? Some people think more in images, some people think more in words. But as you think, do you have any sense of a location in your body where the thinking occurs? If there is a, if you think in images, is there a screen or a stage, someplace that you're gazing upon? Or if you think in words, is there a place where that inner voice speaks or talks? And if you can notice where your thinking muscle is, your thinking activity occurs. What does that part of you feel like? Does it feel restless or calm? Does it feel like there's pressure connected to it or ease? Is there tension or softness? Is the energy behind thinking, does it jump around a lot? Does it feel habitual or insistent? Or is it slow and easy going, floating by? And then as you breathe, perhaps either on the in-breath or perhaps the out-breath, see if you can soften, relax the thinking muscle. Whatever pressure or tension or active energy that might be connected to thinking. Let it soften. Relax. Letting the thinking mind spread out, flatten out and spread out like a wide spread out alpine lake. See if you can settle the restless energy of the mind. Staying, coming back to your breathing. Seeing if you can stay soft and still with the rhythmic experience of breathing. Or if the thinking mind is active enough or restless enough, and see if the winds of breathing can breathe through the restless mind and help it settle, help it relax, help it feel safe. Help it feel content. when you notice you're caught up in your thinking. See if you can relax the thinking muscle. Perhaps open up the room, the space of awareness that allows the wound up spring of thinking to unwind. To quiet down. So I think it's probably an overused cliche to say that we live in a restless times, and or at times when the attention span gets shorter and shorter. But I think that there's something to it. Many people have talked about this, about how the fast pace of our life, the media, the computers, is making people more and more restless, or more and more attention spans shorter, people jumping around a lot between different things. I saw recently they changed the format in the Chronicle, and there's all these much shorter articles now. And that, you know, it's like little blogs, where, you know, a blog that's more than a paragraph is too long. And what strikes me about it is that having a restless mind is starting to is being considered normal. And you know, somehow if you know, there's something wrong with the situation, if we're not getting new stimulus, new ideas, new activity, kind of doing new stuff. And that meditation goes, I think, very much against the grain, against that tendency in our society to always keep ourselves busy, always keep the mind active and engaged and doing things and taking in new things. So the important thing I want to underscore here is the idea that a restless mind shouldn't be seen as being normal, you know, or the natural state to be in. To many degrees, the restlessness is conditioned and created by habit and by the input that comes in. And it's possible to undo that habit. It's possible to change the conditions, and so that the state of the mind maybe can be very different. Some people like to say so returns to more natural state, if there is such a thing, of natural state of being at ease, being peaceful, and having the ability to be settled, calm with what is. So in order that, so I think this topic for today is relevant for everyone, and I think in order to address it realistically, it is not just a matter of working with restlessness and anxiety and stuff in meditation itself, but it also requires some consideration about how we live our lives and what kind of stimulus, input we get from the world around us. And do we get the kind of input, and do we live the kind of life that sets up a lot of momentum in the mind, so the mind has this momentum of doing and going and looking and searching and having and thinking and solving and all that? Or do we set up a condition so that the mind doesn't pick up all that momentum? What would a life look like if we're not picking up momentum, so that we can go through life without much momentum? So just show up and we do something, and then when it's done, it's done. It doesn't stick in the mind, it hasn't affected the mind. It's in this spirit that in Buddhism sometimes they talk about doing things so you leave no traces. And they don't necessarily mean physical traces, but no traces in your mind. So when you do something, it's complete or finished when you've done it. The mind doesn't have to carry with you for longer. So I thought before we take a lunch break, we could take about 10 minutes here to hear from you. Either something about what you might be considering or have learned about restlessness in the course of the morning, or some questions you might have about what's happened so far today.
When I noticed my top hit parade of the things that I'm being restless about in my mind this morning, and made them really specific what the worries were, I really noticed specifically what it was I was worrying about. What came up was sadness, because there are things that I can't change, and the realities of life, my life. And I realized that my restless busyness and my restless mind was pushing away the sadness.
Mm. That's profound. Thank you. So sometimes restlessness is a way of avoiding what needs to be addressed or what needs to be felt.
And I thought I was addressing it by trying to fix it. All my mind was trying to come up with fixes, but there are things that aren't. You know, my father's dying. He's just, that's what's happening. Things like that. Yeah.
So it's painful to feel the sadness. It's a painful situation. But it might have more integrity to it to be present for that fullness of the sadness than it is to be spinning out in the mind.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Restlessness was, when I came in this morning, I realized when we started that restlessness was it. And that I've been caught.
A little closer to you.
Caught. Oh, up there?
Yeah.
Okay. I just found when I came this morning, it's exactly what I was just restless the last, well, it's been for a few weeks, but just coming up, and it has been very busy and everything. But what I really fastened on was is related to what you said. What came to me was sadness, and what I came into was, we're in our 80s, but we're very healthy and doing fine, but not about a half dozen old friends aren't. And it's interesting you say sadness, because that's what I came to, was I just really need to give in to that. Because there's really nothing you can do.
So. Thank you. Someone else, what did you learn about restlessness this morning?
What I recognized is that the hindrances are all very tightly woven together. And but there's the restless energy sort of is the amperage that sort of flows, you know, connects them in a funny way. Like I'm going to do something tonight I haven't done in a long time and sing in public. And I noticed I had a lot of fear around it. I have some fear arising around it. But I also noticed the restlessness is just amped up so much, bouncing around with the worry and the, you know, all the components. So fear, you know, our aversion and restlessness, it's almost like the energy. So if there's a way to kind of like what you've been suggesting and to sort of calm the mind or rest the mind or relax the mind, wherever that is for us, then it has a tendency to soften the other hindrances in a way. It sort of takes a little bit of the juice, turns the power off in a way,
mm-hmm.
for a moment or two.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, the hindrances are all closely connected. And often restlessness comes together with at least one other hindrance. So right behind you there.
I was kind of feeling a little lost about the restlessness. I didn't identify anything in particular. It was just some random thoughts. But what occurred to me actually just when we stopped is that they're just the way to try and maintain bearings and orient myself to the world around me, or it's that last bit of not letting go.
Mm.
Is what I.
So your thinking is a way of orienting yourself. And for some people, that can be connected to the issue of safety. Some people are motivated to orient themselves or understand the world through their thoughts in order to establish some sense of safety or security or well-being or something.
I always think that energy, too much energy, is what makes restlessness. But I noticed this morning that bringing energy to calming, bringing strength and energy to the calming process was very helpful.
Great, thank you.
How do you do that? How do you bring strength an energy to the calming process?
Well, I don't know. Just in the process of doing things that are calming, do them energetically rather than trying to just do them quietly or mildly. I don't know how to articulate it more than that. Is that of any help?
Thank you.
And having said that, the thing that I have difficulty with is not doing, that giving up the doing process. So there is a way, and I've experienced as well, kind of an experiential feeling of bringing strength to the calming process, but it's different than doing. And I don't know how to articulate that, but for me, that stopping of doing is very, very challenging. But when it happens, it's usually fairly profound.
Great, thank you.
I found restlessness is connected to the impatience, very much into impatience. So I observe my day life. Sometimes it just come in, it's all of a sudden, it impatience, and it's things I have to do all together, you know, connected, and the next another, and one another. And other times it's not there. It's not really rest is there. It's calm. But some moment it just found it's just very impatient for certain things, and mm-hmm. had to do fast, one after another. So that was the...
Good.
I found.
Thank you. One interesting exercise to do with impatience is to explore, ask yourself, what is it the impatience believes? What beliefs are behind the impatience?
Other times you suggest that they just come, sit down, be quiet, and knock it off everything, just be not doing anything for a while.
Yeah, very helpful.
That helps a great deal.
Great. Thank you, Sue. One more here in the front.
I realized a couple of years back when I could finally give it a name that when I grow up, I want to be a bodhisattva. And I actually gave up a fairly lucrative career a year and a half ago, sold my business because I didn't feel I was doing enough in the world. And, you know, I'd love to save the world, but I don't know what to do, as the song goes. I think at the end of this morning, what I can probably do best is sort of be an example of stillness for others, and to also be a model of someone who is trying to accept things the way they are, and perhaps encourage others to be able to show them, perhaps by example, that they can do the same thing.
Great, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Okay. So let's take an hour for lunch, and now you're welcome to talk.